I would say that every expert should and does work for the court first and foremost. So my duty is not to either the prosecution or the defence, but really to justice and giving an objective report that can help the court reach a balanced and reasoned decision. So that's the line I try to tread.
And it's a tough line sometimes. Do we have, in terms of miscarriages of justice, you know, a percentage on how often the system works and how often it fails?
Well, that's really difficult to quantify. People always ask me that because we don't really know how many people have been wrongly convicted and are currently in prison. But, you know, I would guess looking at the US numbers, it's probably around 5%-ish in the US, and that's probably reflected here as well. So I would say that normally the criminal justice system does get it right. The correct people are being found guilty and the correct people are being found not guilty. However, we do know that it does happen. So if anyone thinks the justice system is infallible, we have plenty of examples where that sadly isn't the case. And they have really long-term traumatic implications for the wrongly accused, their families, and also the victims of a violent crime, because they think the perpetrator's behind bars and then they learn that the system has also let them down.
And yes, as a percentage, it's small, but as the impact on a life, it's completely devastating. What are some of the typical ways that we get it wrong?
So there are a number of key themes, and that's really why I wrote this book, because I've worked a lot with victims and I've seen a lot of cases where it has gone wrong. And I noticed that there are systematic issues that keep cropping up again and again that lead to these wrongful convictions. So erroneous eyewitness identification, when experts either misinterpret the evidence or apply the wrong weight to the evidence and mislead a jury. There's coerced confessions. That's a huge one, a huge problem. And tunnel vision by the police. So when they follow a line of inquiry to the exclusion of all else because they have a person of interest that they believe has done it, and everything else, you know, even exculpatory evidence, so evidence that would, you know, diminish their case, gets ignored to the detriment, obviously, of the defence. So there's a number of things that keep happening again and again.
Zanthi, there's one case you talk about in your book where the person who gets punished for the crime was in fact had an alibi, which was so solid because they were locked in a prison at the time.
Yes. You're talking about Kelvin Condren.
Yes.
In Mount Isa in Queensland, who was found guilty for the brutal murder of Patricia Coulton, who was his girlfriend. They've been together for a few weeks. Patricia was sadly murdered about 7 o'clock in the evening, early evening, at which point Kelvin had actually been arrested for drunk and disorderly and was in a watch house. However, the police quickly arrested him. They didn't narrow down the time of death early enough. They didn't find correct witnesses. You know, they didn't do that kind of due diligence. Decided she'd actually been attacked earlier in the afternoon, which fitted with the timeline when Kelvin was still free, was wandering around Mount Isa, and he was found guilty. It was only later that it transpired that she couldn't have been attacked when they thought, and actually he was in police custody at the time, and it took him 6 years to get out of prison.
Are you more likely to be falsely found guilty of a crime or falsely accused of a crime if you're a person of colour?
I think certainly that has been historically the case, but also other vulnerable groups. So, you know, people who make a confession, a false confession, people always say to me, well, why would anyone do that? Well, people with psychological issues, people who suffer anxiety, they find the system very stressful and they may actually confess to something just to end a situation. People where there's a language barrier, but certainly some groups in the population are more at risk of wrongful conviction than others, and there has been issues of systemic racism, and I like to think that some of the discussions we've had recently are really dealing with that, but certainly yes, groups have been more vulnerable in the past.
The book's called Reasonable Doubt by Dr. Zanthi Mallett, forensic anthropologist and a woman who is really just walking the walk in this area. What can we do to make the justice system more rigorous so this happens less, do you think?
Well, I think you're kind of doing it now. I think having these discussions.
Sweet.
I know. And it's all about those little baby steps. You know, I don't think any one person could do this huge, you know, act that's going to change it on their own. I think it's about every one of us taking some responsibility. educating ourselves about different issues within the criminal justice system, have these conversations about what the systemic problems are. And if you end up on a jury or, you know, are in an otherwise involved in the criminal justice system, keep an open mind. Just because an expert stands up and says something is false information to you doesn't mean that it's necessarily black and white. So, you know, just try and be a bit more questioning and think about the evidence and think about what you're hearing and be very subjective in your opinions.
Xanthi, I could talk to you all day. so fascinating. And, you know, we're consuming true crime in the form of podcasts and nonfiction books more and more and more. Do you think we're getting better informed? Does that stuff help?
I think in some ways we are. I think with a lot of the true crime, especially the documentaries, the podcasts, you know, Serial was phenomenal, you know, and listening to that and the journey the journalist went on in that case, I think we are better informed, and I think it does give us access to ask these questions. Look at the success of The Teacher's Pet. You know, we hear about all these horrendous things that happened on the northern beaches, but without that podcast, I certainly would never have known about all of those issues at school that were happening. So I think we are better informed, and that gives us access to understanding more about the criminal justice system, but also the problems. So that's why I wrote the book, and I hope people, you know, find it interesting, but also perhaps enlightening, or maybe ask, you know, get them to ask some questions of their own. And I'd love to know what they think, because it's all about that dialogue and getting these issues out there and being discussed.
Xanthi, great to talk to you this morning. Author Xanthi Mallett, and the book is called Reasonable Doubt in bookshops now.